Howdy, Sensei Pong. So this was inevitable, wasn't it? I don't have a co-host to help me carry the show, so at some point, if I do this enough times, I will fail. That's what this episode is. So I'm sorry. I'm not saying this as an excuse, but more of a word of warning. I've been getting over a massive head cold, coughing, body ache mess, was on medification, and my caffeine intake was at a low, as I've hit that point in my cycle of addiction where caffeine doesn't do much for me, unless I start popping caffeinated mints, candy, or pills, and homie, don't play that. I'm pretty straight edge, and this be a straight edge podcast, mostly. Either way, everything's out of order. In terms of my thought train, it's going to post late, so shed a tear. And I don't believe I've got my thoughts out directly enough. So, real fast. After much thought, to avoid a debacle like this again, I've decided to pull back the Video Game Book Club to a monthly affair. 3 games, maybe an extra for themed months, 1 new, 1 old, and 1 wild card. As always, I'll briefly let you know what I've been up to, what I've played recently, and maybe throw in a random segment or two. With that, the filler space in between will be now filled with mini-pod series I've been wanting to start up. Gaming news, maybe some retrospectives, etc. They all should be labeled clearly from here on out. So if there's something you like more than the other, you can discern for yourself if it's worthy of a listen. If it becomes a monster and can live on its own, it may get its own dedicated RSS feed as a standalone podcast. We'll see. Either way, I am sorry for this episode. I set the bar pretty low, but this one is breaking all them records. I've also decided to come back to Sonic Chronicles at a later date. You'll see why. Hopefully we can do that before this year ends, but to keep things nice and varied, that'll probably happen next year. This episode's and next month's episode book club information is in the description below, yada yada. And with that, enjoy the show? Seriously, this one is garbage. And welcome back to another Sensei Podcast Video Game Book Club. Alright, so this week's Video Game Book Club games include Has-Been Heroes on, well, I played on the Nintendo Switch, but it's on a whole bunch of stuff. Go look it up. It's fun. If you haven't played it, and it piques your curiosity, go play it. I recommend it. It's actually a lot better than what a lot of reviewers are saying, and I'll get into that in a little bit. The second game was Sonic Chronicles, The Dark Brotherhood, the only Sonic RPG ever made. And number 3 was Crisis in the Kremlin on PC and Steam. Oh, yeah, Sonic Chronicles was on Nintendo DS. Anyways, if I sound nasally, and if I'm, like, out of it, if my mind doesn't seem like it's on track, it's because I've had a massive head cold for most of this week. Also, which brings me to another thing. Kind of like the, not last podcast, but man, it is warm in here. I just was like, what is dripping down me right now? It's just like a bead of sweat. It's gross. I'm getting over a massive head cold. I've got like congestion in my head. My head is cloudy. And so I couldn't really play a whole lot this week. And last week was busy. And oh my gosh. It's been rough days. And then when I had the time to like sit down, I was like, man, do I really want to like sit down and play an RPG? So that's really what it came down to. I wanted to play something a bit more relaxed. Man, I am sweaty as all balls. Yeah, I'm like sweating out a fever right now. I've been like sweating out this fever for like almost 3 days. And I'm not like asking for sympathy here, but I'm just saying I apologize and I'm sorry. At least I'm getting the podcast out. It's going to be a few days late. I just didn't want to record last night because I was completely out of it. I was just like, oh, I got to save all my energy for going to work. Anywho, so with that, what have I been playing recently outside of the Video Game Book Club games? Well, I kind of want to pick up something where I can like actually kind of relax more and just kind of play to my heart's content. So I actually picked up Gwent again, and they did the whole big update like a couple months, like a month ago, I don't remember. But, like, I did pick it up, like, after that, the newest update where it became a public beta versus the private beta. And they've changed a whole bunch of the cards. But one thing that made me, like, oh, made me kind of sad was that they, like... And I wasn't surprised or anything that they did it. It's because it's a beta. It's these kind of things occur. They, all the cards I had accumulated, all the cool things I had accumulated, and the my level 10 rating that I had, like, worked on and all that. It's, okay, it's a level 10. It's not, like, an actual rating. It's, like, what level are you in playing? But, like, it was all reset to zero. I was like, ah, crap. Now I don't have the good cards that I had before. I don't have my awesome dwarf deck. I don't have my cool... Like, what other deck did I have? Like, a dwarf-based deck was pretty cool, because it was, like, all the dwarves would work together and be like, hi-ho, hi-ho. It's off to Gwent we go. Man, my nose is so stuffed. So, you know, and I had a couple other cool stuff. I had some cool, like, gold cards and all that. But since all that got reset, I was like, do I want to, like, grind again just to have it all, like, go away once it publicly finally releases as its final form in its third evolution? Do I want to do that? I was like, maybe not. Maybe I'll just wait for the official release. But since I got sick, and, like, last week for some reason I was just, like, really, like, my... I've been going through a few personal things, so I've just been like, I just want to relax. Just want to play something that, you know, I find, like, very relaxing. I just picked it up. I was like, okay, whatever. Screw this. Let's just play. And they've changed a lot of the card mechanics. Like, Aridin, I think is what it's called, the leader of the monsters that you get for as a starter pack for the monsters decks, not monster class deck series thing. His whole thing has changed. He's only level 5, but he can summon, you know, any hunter card from your deck or something like that. It's pretty cool. Some of the other guys, all the leaders have changed. Almost all the cards have changed. Oh, that's right, my Blue Stripes Commando deck. Yeah, I had a Blue Stripes Commando deck that I was working, and it actually ended up working out pretty well, because you can, like, bring one out, bring another one out, bring another one out, and it's like, bam, 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 they all summon each other, and they all power each other up. Now the Blue Stripes Commandos work a little bit differently, and I haven't played a whole bunch of the new update, but I'm going to have to look into that. But, you know, overall, I'm okay with it. I think it's all balancing anyways, and it makes sense. I don't have any issues with it. Do I still like the game? Yes, I do. I love it. And because it's so different from, like, your regular, like, Hearthstone Magic Pokemon type game, where it's like, oh, we're battling, these cards do this, 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 and damage that, you know, I like it. I'm gonna stick with what I said before and say it feels a little like a solitaire, like a competitive solitaire game, because you're, like, trying to, like, build power on your side of the battlefield, and whoever has the most power wins the round. Wow, Foof needs to shut up. Hold up. Alright, I'm back. She just stopped willy-nilly. Anywho, so what I was saying about that, yeah, Gwent's fun. It's public beta now, so... It's public beta now, so if you're interested in the Gwent Witcher card game, go pick that up. It's on GOG. Which actually reminds me of something kind of funny. I keep looking into it, wishing and hoping and being like, oh my gosh, please just do it. Ew, that was gross. Hocked a loogie. I'm going to edit that out. That was gross. I'm not going to edit out my little banter about it, but GOG needs to get, like, physical gift cards. They need to do that. Kind of like what Steam does. You can pick those, like, Steam cards at, like, any grocery store, 7-Eleven, or wherever, you know, or Walmart. And it would, you know, you can be like, yay, throw that on my Steam wallet, you know? And call me, like, old-fashioned. But I like having those physical cards. That way I can just make budgeting easier and just force myself to not use my debit card. Which is why I don't buy a whole bunch of GOG games. So, you know what, GOG, if you're listening, start that up. Because you're losing a lot of business on my end. Because anytime I have, like, money to spend on a computer game, I usually just go out ahead and get a card. And what cards are there? Well, there's Nintendo, and there's PSN, and there's Steam. If there was a GOG option, I'd probably pick that over half the time. Just saying. But I looked up on a thread, and I pretty much said what I just said there. And that discussion's been going on for, like, 4 years, so... I highly doubt GOG ever will. So, you know, they're just losing out on business, I guess. Also, it's like the grandma gift, like, purchase, where it's like, if someone asks you, what do you want for your birthday? And if you're the kind of gamer that's like, get me a gift card for Steam, or get me a gift card for Nintendo Shop, or Xbox Live, or PSN, or whatever. You know, I don't care what the platform is. If they see the card there, they're going to be like, oh, that's what they were talking about. Let's get that. And that makes my life easy, you know, other than having to figure out what game you have to get, you know. If you could do that, that opens up a whole bunch of business. I don't understand. If you're listening and you like GOG, if you can figure out a way to pester GOG about this, do it, because I'm going to start doing it. I'm going to start pestering them about gift cards, like physical gift cards, because I want physical gift cards for GOG. That's just what it is. Anywho, what else have I been playing? I've been playing a lot of Trackmania Squared, the sequel to the original Trackmania, not Trackmania Turbo. I haven't played that yet. It's gotten mixed reviews, and I'm not even sure if my computer can fully handle it, so I've just been like, kind of like, I don't know. I love Trackmania, but, you know, if the hardcore fans are like, play Trackmania, then they play Trackmania Squared, and they're like, oh, I love it, and they play Trackmania Turbo, and they're just like, it's not good, you know, this, that, whatever. This is wrong, that's wrong. I don't remember what they said, but I haven't looked at the reviews as of recent, so I could be completely wrong on this. Maybe they did an update and fixed the problems that were already there. But, you know, I've just been holding off on it. But I love Trackmania. It's one of those relaxing games for me, like, definitely if I'm sick. I like games where I can just, like, not necessarily think. Of course, there's focus with Trackmania. If you ever played Trackmania, people have jokingly called it, like, the Dark Souls of racing games. Which, no, it's not. It is hard. Some of those like, user-created tracks on multiplayer are just balls difficult. And if you go into multiplayer, chances are you're not going to get anywhere in the top 10 if there's, like, 30 people there. You're going to be lucky to even finish the track if it's your first time. Because, wow, it is hard. And it takes a lot of focus. But I always found racing games, regardless of, you know, what type of racing game it is, even if it's like Mario. Oh, that was another game I played. Mario Kart or, like, Crash Team Racing or whatever, you know? Like, they're relaxing. They're fun for me. They're just very, like, kind of veg-out games. They're very... I treat it casually, even though I'm... You know, you might consider me, like, a slightly above casual Trackmania fan, because when I get into Trackmania, I play for, like, hours and days. And I really try to, like, beat my times and all that, and, like, try to, like, fine-tune everything and figure out, okay, how should I come across this? When do I brake? When do I let off the gas? Where should I be on the track when I'm making this turn? You know, that sort of stuff. Real fine-tuning. Yeah, so Trackmania, it is a fast-paced, it's a fast racing game. And if you're ever curious about Trackmania, there is a free version. I want to say it's called Trackmania Nations. It's basically Trackmania United without all the extra perks and, like, unlimited play on multiplayer, which might sound bad, but honestly, the unlimited play, the limited play isn't as bad as it sounds. But you give it a shot. It's a good way to just test out the game, to figure out what kind of game it is. That is available online and on Steam for PC, so check that out if you like racing games that require you to really fine-tune your skills in, like, being able to just, like, tap the analog stick or tap the keyboard just ever so slightly for very tight turns. Man, my mind is not a thesaurus tonight. Anywho, so yeah, I've been playing Trackmania. What else have I played? Oh, that's right, I was gonna say Mario Kart DS, which is kind of an old game, but, you know, still a goodie, because I haven't picked up Mario Kart 8 Deluxe on the Switch yet. I plan to, I mean to pick that up. I just, anytime I have the time to actually, and money to pick it up, I always forget about it, so it's like, and I end up spending my put aside other cash stuff on other things, and I always forget about it. I'm just like, balls. Well, anywho, with that, what else have I played? Yeah, the Pokemon trading card game. I'm back on that. Didn't really play a whole bunch, but, you know, just kind of easing myself back into it, because I've been kind of in, like, a card binge, kind of a strategy binge, also kind of a roguelike and roguelite binge. Which reminds me, I haven't really played a whole bunch of it, but I kind of apparently suck at the game. I discovered this mod on Minecraft called Rogue. I think it's version 1.3 or something like that. Whatever it is. A Rogue Minecraft, or it's simply called Rogue Minecraft. But it's basically like like Minecraft, but with randomly generated dungeons, and you have to reach the end. It's pretty cool, actually. I like that idea. It's a very nice little game. The enemies actually act a little bit differently than vanilla Minecraft. They've been tweaked here and there, so be ready for that. I won't give you any spoilers if you pick that up, but that's fun. Which is an nice little segue into what I've been working on my channel. So, after so many, like, started and, like, stopped and dropped and rolled projects, I've been looking back on my backlog and taking a real serious hard look at my analytics to look at, I do this a lot, and I've been noticing the trend that my VGTs of what is metagaming, what is RNG has been, like, slowly on the rise of being, like, it's for like from it from when I first uploaded it and now the amount of views per day has actually gone up, so it's being shared and being viewed more. So I was taking a look back on my other VGTs and thinking to myself, I haven't watched my old stuff in a long time, and I didn't realize how bad the audio quality was. So I have been rewriting a new script for what is a roguelike, and I'll probably hit up what is a Metroidvania again, and maybe I'll do the Tycoon game, finish that one up, Tycoon Games, and maybe do like a, because I wanted to do a VGT on like fighting games for Evo, but Evo is passing on, and I didn't start that until Evo started, so I was like, oh yeah, Evo, woo, so I was like, oops, not enough time for that video, so I'll probably do that next year around Evo, just before it, should be pretty cool. But yeah, no, I've been thinking about, like, doing quote-unquote HD remakes of all my, not all my VGTs, but the old stuff. That way it's at least an HD video and has a higher quality audio, you know what I mean? Maybe funnier, maybe more educational, maybe on point. Because there were a couple things in the roguelike one, I was like, yeah, I don't agree with that. But my view on roguelikes have changed over the years. Yeah, like, no, when I say over the years, makes it sound like a long time, but I mean in the past 2 years or 3 years since I first uploaded that video. Because so many roguelikes and roguelites have been released. Like, they just keep coming. Like, developers don't ever stop. They just keep pounding us in with more and more and more and more. And it's not a genre I dislike. I love roguelikes and I love roguelites, but since there's so many of them, and so many, like, inspired ones, where it's, like, rogue-inspired, really, people, like, purists are complaining that there needs to be a distinction between roguelike and roguelite. And, when I made that video, I didn't make that distinction, really. I didn't make a clear distinction. So, you know, I was saying something more along the lines of Spelunky is a roguelite, but, Binding of Isaac is more of a roguelike. Which, if you're listening to this, don't get upset just yet. Don't squeal at me. I've been reformed. My views have changed. Roguelikes should be more like a rogue, where it's turn-based. And roguelites are pretty much anything that's action-based. So, we can make that clarification right there and now. So, anywho. But, at that same time, you've got to, it's like, balls, then what about games like the game that's on the video game book club right now, like Has-Been Heroes? Technically, people would call that a roguelite, but it doesn't play anything like Binding of Isaac. So, should there be another distinction for this? Rogue-inspired? Or should you... I was joking on Twitter about this. Should it be like you have rogue-clone, rogue-like, then rogue-light? So, what you end up doing is kind of shifting things aside. Things that would be considered a rogue-like now should be considered a rogue-clone. And things that are considered a rogue-light, more traditional rogue-light, would be a rogue-like. And then games like Has-Been Heroes is a rogue-inspired, or I mean a rogue-light. I don't know. I think we're just adding too many terms to this. And nobody likes a big fuddled mess of things that all sound the same. So that's what I'm going to be discussing in that video. I don't know. I'll have to think about it. What else have I played? Yeah, because I just haven't had the energy to really do anything. I've been playing on my phone a lot. Found this interesting little card game on Android. I think it might be on iOS. I don't know. Haven't really looked at it. It's called Power Rangers Battle? What is that called? No, Power Rangers Unite. Yeah, Power Rangers Unite. Okay, well, I haven't played in the past few days. I've kind of, like, veered off and started playing other things. But Power Rangers Unite is kind of a fun little, competitive card game. It's got a really impressive one-player campaign for being a phone game. You open up one level, you open up one chapter, and it's like, okay, well, this is probably just a tutorial, right? Yeah, kind of. And you've got, like, 8-9 missions in it. And you're like, oh, okay, fine. And then you unlock the next chapter, and you're like, oh, okay, 10 more missions. Unlock the next chapter, 10 more missions. Unlock the next chapter. Oh, hey, look, you unlocked book 2. It's like, oh, wow, okay, there's a full-fledged game in here. I'm quite surprised. It's pretty cool. I like it. And because of that, because of the one-player nature of it, I was, like, quite impressed with it. But even then, I think the reason why they do that is because they were probably thinking to themselves, well, we're not guaranteed the player base of, like, Hearthstone or anything else like that. So, gotta have at least a good one-player campaign, and there is. So, if that's important to you, go check that out. It's called Power Rangers Unite, and if you like CCGs, it doesn't play... If anything, it's closer to maybe Elder Scrolls, the card game. Yeah. Oh, that reminds me. I keep forgetting to look this up. Where is that? Fable Fortune. Okay. Can't download it now. It ain't free. Alright, so yeah, Fable Fortune has released out on Steam in early access, so don't expect a full-fledged game as of right now because it's in early access, aka EA. Well, it's not EA, but thought this to be quite interesting. Maybe it's like a Hearthstone clone, I have no idea, but I'm interested in playing this. Let me know if you've played it and leave your thoughts down below, because I haven't played it yet, so... But I've been trying to keep an eye on when this game released. And I guess it released a few days ago. Okay, well, balls. I haven't been keeping track the past few days. Well, let's see what the... There are 35 reviews out on Steam and 94% positive. So that's good. Good to see. So it should be pretty cool. I'm interested. Yeah, it looks like 5-card booster packs. Can't wait for the days when we only have, like, 3-card booster packs. Hey, you got a booster pack. 1 card. Or you may or may not get a card. just turn it into, like, Pokemon Rewards, where it's just, like a little present. And be like, you may get money, you may get a card. They don't sell the presents on Pokemon. I know, I'm just saying. Pokemon doesn't have that issue, really. Okay, so let's... They've got a weird system. I can see why they have this system. They want to, like, promote, you know, physical buying. And they want to, like, stop kids from, like, buying a bunch of packs from their parents' bank account and getting in trouble with that, you know. So that's good on them, I suppose. But, anywho, what was I talking about? Let's carry on. Whatever. Let's go to the news. It's the news. It's the news. It's the news. Yeah. What's going on in the news? What's going on in the news? Macy Gray, everybody. Macy Gray. Okay, so the new... My segues are getting worse. Oh, my head feels like it's gonna implode. It's getting too hot. I can't deal with it. Anywho, Pokemon Go Fest was a failure. Failure to launch. I'm sure you've heard about this already. Kind of sad. Kind of expected. The servers failed. A couple thousand or a few thousand people were there. And they were all upset. Niantic CEO was like, "Hey guys, how's it going? We're gonna get this up and going." People were like, "Oh, I just wanna play my game. Give me my money back." And they were getting all upset, throwing water bottles at him. He got booed off stage. It was terrible. So terrible. Many people died that day. And it wasn't the phone network's fault, because Niantic had got like Verizon and Comcast and all sorts, probably T-Mobile out there with phone boosters and stuff, like boosting towers, like emergency towers to boost the signal, so you know the phone connections wouldn't like freak out. But what did freak out was the servers, and it crashed and no one was able to play. What was GoFest, if you didn't know? It was basically, I forget where they were holding it. Niantic held a little festival, Pokemon Go Fest, to celebrate, you know, the release of legendaries and all that. And they were going to give out, like, free stuff and all sorts of cool stuff. But it failed. So to kind of hopefully alleviate the situation, for the people that attended, they gave out free in-game currency and extended the time for the worldwide festival to be held. So, yeah, if you didn't go but you're still playing Pokemon Go, that's good on you, because at least you have a better chance of catching those legendaries. But if you did go and lost a bunch of money and plane tickets and hotels, motels, whatever, I'm sorry. But here's the funny thing. I guess a whole bunch of people are now suing Niantic for it, because what they received was not what was advertised. Stuff like that. People crying and complaining about that. I understand where they're coming from, but if Niantic loses this court case and loses, you know, like thousands and thousands of dollars, what would I find ironic? Well, I don't think that's the right word. My head's stuffy. My head's cloudy. But if Niantic lost this court case and lost so much money that they had to go under and Pokemon Go shuts down. So, yep. In the end, it wouldn't have been Niantic's fault. It would have been the Pokemon Go players destroying their own company. But what's real funny is that I guess like some longtime Niantic fans of like Ingress were like, "Well, this is what happens, you know." It happened with Ingress, because I guess apparently they would hold like little get-togethers and stuff with Ingress, and they'd have the same issue. So, oops. I don't understand why Niantic didn't see this coming. I don't understand. If this happens all the time with them, I don't see why they didn't see this being an issue. I don't know why they couldn't, why they don't just get more and more servers to try to handle all the traffic. I don't understand what's going on through Niantic's like head when it comes to logistics. They need to figure it out. I think what would have ultimately saved Pokemon Go Fest is if they had just had a ball pit. And if someone peed in it, because you know that would have saved, that the ball pit would have made everything all better. So what other news is there? Splatoon 2 accessories for the Switch look pretty baller. I don't know what else you want to talk about that. They look cool. They probably work cool if you like the controls. Man, I'm really bad at this right now. My head's not in the game. SNES Classic pre-orders have been canceled. So basically, if you didn't know, SNES Classic is coming out. SNES Classic, Super NES Classic is coming out and comes with 21 games. I talked about this last time. It looks pretty cool. I'm okay with it. But the pre-orders have been canceled and dropped because eBay or Amazon or like that were like, no, you can't put pre-orders up if it's not going to be available for within the next 30 days or something like that. So people are getting kind of upset at Nintendo for that, but, you know, whatevs. It's not Nintendo's fault. And that's policy. Well, it is Nintendo's fault because they didn't look at the policy of Amazon or eBay or wherever that was. So, oops. It's not looking... The happiness rating doesn't look very good right now. But the product rating looks great. A Hat in Time release trailer has been released. If you don't know what A Hat in Time is, it's a 3D platformer, which I've been kind of excited for. And that's actually one of the only 3D platformers as of recent that I've been, like, super excited for. You can ask me, well, why weren't you excited about Ukulele, Pong? Because Hat in Time actually looked more fun. I like the tiny whiny. But no, it looks charming as all balls. It looks fun. It looks beautiful. It looks cute. It's fun. It looks great. I watched the trailer myself. Doesn't explain a whole bunch, but it looks pretty good. Go check it out if you're into that sort of thing. It is releasing on PS4, Xbox One, Mac, PC/Steam. I don't believe there's a Switch release, but when A Hat in Time does release, I might have to pick that up. I'm not exactly sure. Well, we'll see. Oh, what other news was there? There's something else I want to talk about. Oh, that's right. It was the IGN News Story of the Week. So, yeah. Y'all want to know something terrifying? So, this little clickbait is titled, Researchers Pull Plug on AI After It Invents Its Own Language. And a little tagline is, this isn't the first time AI began communicating in a language humans can't understand. In fact, it happens constantly. That's reassuring. Alright, so, I don't know why this quote is here. I know now why you cry. That's weird. And then there's a whole bunch, there's a little trailer to Terminator 2 here, too. I'm not sure what they're trying to imply here. But anywho, so the article is titled, Artificial Intelligence Develops Its Own Language. Seth G. Macy reports, we haven't quite researched the terrifying sci-fi hellscape described by the Terminator franchise, but researchers at Facebook have brought us just a bit closer to the age of machines. Recently, they pulled the plug on an artificial intelligence system after it developed its own language. The AI in question was actually designed to maximize efficiency in language, but according to the Fast Code Design, the researchers forgot to add a crucial rule in its programming. The language had to be English, so the two AI agents moved on with their programming to communicate as efficiently as their programming would allow, putting the conversation between the two outside the understanding of humans. Agents will drift understandable language and invent code words for themselves, Georgia Tech research scientist Dhruv Batra said. This isn't anything new either. It's sometimes something that keeps cropping up when researchers experiment with this type of AI. The purpose of these particular Facebook AI agents is to communicate in English, so programmers rework the code to get the AI back on track. But if AI is allowed to keep to its own devices, Fast Code Design said, it eventually creates a language all its own, one that can't be understood by human beings. Now is the perfect time to prepare yourself for the end of humanity's reign over Earth by watching the new 4K Blu-ray of Terminator 2. It seems less a blockbuster action film from the 90s and more a dark fortune-telling of our grim future under the emotionless rule of the machines. Regardless of our impending doom, it's a great movie. Two problems with this article. There's no, wrap-up. And I feel like I'm just being, like, hawked Terminator 2 the more I think about it. Which, I like that movie. That movie's great. The T-1000 is awesome. An awesome, awesome villain robot. And Schwarzenegger's Terminator, the good one, quote-unquote, is pretty cool, too. He's a nice, like, sympathetic character, too. But, come with me if you want to live. Yeah. I don't know where to go with this one, but it does feel nice to, like, come back to AI, because I went into a lot of talk about AI last episode. Let's see what some commenters say. We need robot overlords, just let them be. Humans are doing a crappy job as it is. It can't possibly be any worse under the rule of our AI brethren. Says that guy again, one. Blah, blah, blah. I like Ozymandias, not to be confused with Ozymandias from Watchmen, but Ozymandias. His comment was nothing. He actually doesn't have a comment here. He doesn't have any typed stuff. But he just has like a little animated gif of Hal from Space Odyssey 2001. 2001 Space Odyssey. And his eye. Which is a nice thing. Street Magic says, nah, it just be... I gotta read these comments before I actually decide to read them. That's terrible. So let's just read the next... Let's read the next comment in a... Southern drawl. Random comment? Let's go. Now I say, what's the big deal? It's no difference. Then when I go to my... go get my nails manicured at the salon and the Chinese ladies who work there refuse to speak English. I know they're talking about me. Okay, these comments are terrible. All these comments are terrible. I thought this would actually be like... Okay, AI is essentially living being. A living being. It learns, it makes decisions, it is capable of making the same leaps in logic that we are. However, now I say, however, it does these things much faster than we do. So, shouldn't we approach the developing AI, take a much slower, more cautious approach? Now, before it is tasked with fulfilling objectives, shouldn't it be taught things like ethics and socialization? We shouldn't task a newborn with anything more complex than not choking in its sleep. Treating emergent AI any differently seems doomed for failure, and the stakes can be extremely high. Wow, that is an incredibly good point, July 1976. That's the username, July 1976. That's, yeah, exactly. I think that's what the point I was trying to make in the last episode about AI. And this is not going to become an AI cast. I refuse it. So let's just get out of here. That was your gaming news of the week. Ba-ba-ba-bow! Bow! Bow-chicka-bow-wow! Okay, well... Okay, I've been recording for quite a while, but a lot of this is going to have to be edited out because I'm just so out of it. My head's not on. Alright, so what games have I played? So let's talk about Has-Been Heroes first. So, Has-Been Heroes is a... kind of a turn-based tactical roguelite. And I have one issue with the reviewers and Metacritic. People were complaining that it's too hard. People are complaining that they die so quickly. They can't beat the first boss. They can't understand it. They're having issues and all this. And look, I'm not calling myself a programmer here, or gamer here, but I didn't have those issues. Even when I was sick and playing it, and my head wasn't like fully straight, I was like hopped up on like a whole bunch of Tylenol and like Sudafed and NyQuil and all sorts of stuff, I could still play it. Now, because I didn't have that many issues. I'd still be able to beat the first boss. I even beat the first dungeon and unlocked the Bard. I didn't actually get to sit down and play with it as much as I would have liked, because I tried to like get through Sonic Chronicles, because that ended up being more than I could chew for the past 2 weeks. But like, people suck at these kind of games, I just realized. And I think it was the marketing for this game. People expected it to be a nice, simple, casual fare, but it's more along the lines of like a roguelite. So maybe if you enjoyed Darkest Dungeon but thought to yourself, okay, well, this game is just a little bit too hard, the RNG is just a little bit too rough, I want something where I feel like I have more control and I can actually get through the game a little bit faster and easier, Has-Been Heroes is basically Darkest Dungeon, but definitely not as hard. So, I don't see what the issue is. People were complaining about the difficulty. I didn't find it that difficult. You just gotta sit down and actually think what you're doing. I didn't have that issue. If you had a problem with it, I'm not calling you stupid. I'm not calling you bad at the game. But it's a very thoughtful game. You gotta like actually think about what you're doing. And I liked that personally. I loved it. This game might actually be like a 8 or 9 for me. It easily gets an A. Because honestly, I didn't find any issues I had with it. Like, maybe a little bit of monotony, but that wasn't really that bad because I liked the core game loop. Now, someone that doesn't like monotony may not like it, even though I wouldn't say it has that bad of monotony, the game loop itself, but I thought it to be super fun. The art style keeps it fun because it's a very cartoony thing. Yeah, I unlocked the Bard. I love the Bard. Haven't unlocked the next person yet. Haven't unlocked, you know, other stuff. But I liked the game. I like it a lot. I'm going to keep playing this, and I'm going to keep playing it for a while now. So, shove off, y'all. If you didn't like the game, I'm sorry. I like roguelikes. Maybe I'm a masochist. But honestly, I didn't have that much issue. What I did have more issue with was the Minecraft rogue, because I just kind of suck at Minecraft. The music was fun. The writing is kind of fun. Though, I came to the point where, like, after maybe like an hour of playing, I was just like, whatever. Just skip ahead. Oh, let's read the item description. So, yeah, the writing is good, but I wouldn't say it's like, you know, it's not something you really want to read, if that makes any sense. The writing's not bad, but it's not something you want to read. Because the kind of gamer that this caters to is not the kind of gamer that's really into, like, heavy story or heavy, like, dialogue or deep dialogue. And that's fine with me. I've been needing something kind of lighthearted anyways. Yeah. I didn't beat the game, obviously. Got a ways to go for that. Oh, what else? But yeah, let's just go over the games real fast and like talk about like where I'm gonna take this podcast in a new. I'm gonna take this podcast in a new direction. I forgot to mention that at the beginning. So expect a different like upload rate here, and different content very soon. So real fast, Sonic Chronicles: The Dark Brotherhood. I didn't finish the game. I just didn't have the time. But Sonic Chronicles, I'm enjoying it right now. I'm going to still play it. I'm going to finish it out because I want to actually finish the game. I just haven't had time to sit down with it. And it's one of those games where, like, if I want to sit down and play it, I want to play it for, like, an hour or two. I want to have at least an hour or two to play. And I don't want to be, like, sitting down for small chunks. Because usually that's what my gaming usually is, because that's all I'm really able to do. But the writing is fun. Sonic's kind of a D-bag to Amy. That's always fun. Sonic can be a little D to everybody in the game. It's quite fun. The writing is really good. And what I didn't realize is that the game is made by BioWare, which if you don't know who BioWare is, they're the same people that made Mass Effect and Dragon Age, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong. I could be very wrong, but yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting, quite funny, because Mass Effect 1, 2, and Sword of 3 are considered like really good, like some of the best classic games of all time and all sorts of stuff, and they are really good at RPGs apparently, and all that kind of stuff. And I just thought it was kind of funny that Sonic Chronicles was a BioWare game, because it's Sonic. Sonic is a very lighthearted affair. Mass Effect is not. It's probably M-rated and probably M-rated for a good, very good reason. Good reasons, but I just thought it was kind of funny. Didn't realize that. But I'm enjoying it. I'm still playing it now when I have the time. And I want to finish it so badly. Not that I care about the story. I just kind of want to finish the game, because I want to. I don't think there's multiple endings in this, but I feel like there might be, because there's been a lot of dialogue choices, like all throughout. And you know, yeah, like I said, you could be a D-bag to all the characters, but I haven't been in my playthrough. I'll let you know how that goes and we'll, when I do finish it up. So, hopefully I can finish that up by the next episode. I probably will. Either way. Do I think it holds up? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's one mechanical thing that I have with it that I didn't like. Well, I don't like, because I'm still playing it. You move around with a stylus, and you don't have the option to move around with a D-pad, or if you're on a 3DS, the analog stick. You don't have that option. It's because it's an earlier DS title, so they're like, well, let's utilize that stylus as well as possible, so you're forced to use the stylus to move. Kind of like, what was that, Phantom Hourglass was like that, I think. I could be wrong. Man, my head is imploding. All this snot is just like building up until it explodes. But you're forced to move with the stylus, and I don't like that. I like my physical controls. So, not saying I don't like the stylus, and I'm not saying I don't like the touchpad. I love the touchpad, and I love the stylus for certain games. Some games do it really well. This game, I wouldn't say, does it incredibly well. So, if you're going to ask me if this game holds up very well, mechanically, it could be a lot better. The UI isn't as bad as it could be, but I feel like they could have, like, trimmed it down a bit, because like going through so many steps to like equip characters with certain equipment and like using certain items could have been done easier, but at the moment I can't really think of a way that they would have. Maybe, I don't know, I feel like the game's UI doesn't feel very organized. But outside of that, I like the combo moves, and I like the turn-based. I like the combat in it, because it's like you choose your moves, and depending on the character's speed and all sorts of stuff, they can attack so many times in a round, because each fight's like turns are divvied up in rounds. So like Sonic is obviously the fastest character in the game, so he can, because of that, his initiative is like really high, so he can attack three times. So like that first time, Sonic is probably going to be the first person to attack or do a thing. So, like, you can make him use an item to try to save another character. And then it goes down to, like, the list of whoever's next slowest or fastest. And then, like, the next time Sonic is able to move, he does an attack or a super attack or whatever. So I thought that was pretty cool. I like the mechanic. Only hammers in my dislike for Big the Cat, though, because Big the Cat is slow, and he can only like attack once in a round, where like almost everybody can attack like twice. Big can only do things one time in a round. I was like, wow, Big, you suck. You really are just the tank. He has like a taunt mechanic too that you can like utilize and have everybody attack Big, but it's not like Big's HP is like super super heavy, so like if he gets like hit like badly a whole bunch of times in one round, I don't feel like Big can survive that. Maybe barely, or come down to like 40 HP at the most, 50 HP. Oh my gosh, Big the Cat, outside of his like in-game utility, he's the most useless character. Hashtag Big the Cat for Sonic Blast, or no, what was that? Sonic Mania. I want the Big the Cat game. Just make the whole thing like fishing. Oh, that reminds me of something funny. I'm so out of it right now. That reminds me of this funny tweet that Pro Jared made. He made a tweet of like something saying like he still gets a lot of hate for calling Sonic Adventure 2 a bad game. And in all honesty, look, I'm a huge Sonic fan. I love Sonic. I'm mostly like an OG Sonic player. I've played a few of the new games, namely like Sonic the Black Knight and, the Secret Rings. I mean, yeah. And, Sonic Adventure 1. That's not a new game, though. And, some Sonic Generations. Yeah. Oh, and Sonic 06. I played that. Don't ask me why. I played that because Birdie Berry got all excited and was like, Well, Fred, which I want to play a new Sonic game. Which one's going to be good? And I was like, well, you know, I don't know. You know, because I didn't really know. I was like, I've always been iffy on 3D Sonic games since Sonic Adventure. And she was like, hey, look what I got from this, you know, from the game store for, like, super low price. I was like, Sonic the Hedgehog. I think that's Sonic 06. Ooh. So, yeah, I played that. She played it a little bit. It was kind of fun. I'll give it that. Kind of, yeah. Yeah, it's not a good game. But, yeah, I know he was saying, like, he still gets a lot of hate for Sonic Adventure 2 and calling it a bad game. And I was like, no. I tweeted back at ProJared and was like, no. According to IGN, Sonic Adventure 2 is a 9.4 out of 10. Portal, which is an established great game, is a 8.9 out of 10, or something like that. 8.7, I think. Therefore, Sonic Adventure 2 is greater than Portal. So, you know, you know, just use some stupid logic there. Yeah, I thought it was funny that Sonic Adventure 2 had a higher rating than Portal. Well, whatever. I give IGN a lot of crap, but honestly, they're not that bad. Yeah, oh, here we go. IGN's rating, 8.2 out of 10 for Portal and Sonic Adventure 2 has a 9.4 out of 10. Let's really? 6.5 out of 10 for Sonic Chronicles The Dark Brotherhood? Dude, I'd say Sonic Chronicles is way better than Sonic Adventure 2. I'm having more fun with it. It's not a deep RPG. Don't expect some, like, massive storyline or, like, crazy exploration. Like I said, my worst thing about the game was the mechanics. But the game itself is solidly pretty fun. So, do I think it still holds up? Yes. What rating would I give it? I wouldn't give it a 6.5. I'd give it at least a 7. Maybe a 7.5. I feel like a 7 might be the golden key for that one. Though, I'm thinking of changing my whole rating system to a letter grade. So, I'd give Sonic Chronicles a B-. Yeah, I think that feels right. A B-. It's fun, but it's definitely not, like, great. Like, it's cheesy, but I expected it to be cheesy. It feels like a Sonic Comics kind of thing. Which reminds me of some other sad news. It is official now. Sega's contract with Archie Comics has been dropped, and there will not be any more Sonic comics through Archie. Though Sega did announce, did state that they are going to try to keep Sonic Comics alive through a different publisher. So we'll have to sit tight and see if that ever happens. But that's kind of sad. Anyways, man, my mind is so out of it, I can't really talk about these games. Crisis in the Kremlin. So I had an issue with this game. Yeah, I kind of enjoyed it. But, yeah, there are so many things holding it back. It's just, it doesn't explain crap. So literally the first, like, 30 minutes of playing, I was just, like, shuffling through everything, just trying to figure out what I do, what to do, how do I even play, is there even a game in here, what's going on. After that, you know, after fiddling around and with a terrible UI, and honestly, I don't, like, bad graphics don't bother me, but when it's blatantly lazy, It was starting to grind my gears a bit. I feel like the game was just trying to, like, hit that niche, like, hipster audience just too hard. I felt like I was being pandered to. And honestly, I didn't play a whole bunch of it because I just got kind of fed up with it. I was like, maybe it was because I wasn't really feeling well when I was, like, trying to pick it up. And then, like, later on, like, earlier this week when I first started getting sick and my head was starting to, like, get all, like, congested, I was just like, maybe I just didn't have it in me to, like, really sit down and really grind out this game. But, like, I don't feel like, as the player of the game, you have, like, a terrible amount of control of what happens, because it's just, like, here's some edicts, choose a choice. It felt like just a multiple choice, choose your own adventure, interactive fiction, visual novel type game. And I don't want that when I play a simulation game like this. I thought to myself, okay, I thought it'd be more like, okay, what kind of things can I like change in the treasury? Can I up the taxes? Can I lower the taxes? Can I make edicts? Can I like go straight into like countries and flaunt my political prowess a bit more or whatever here and there? I feel like the game from the Commodore 64, whatever it was called, I think it was Commodore 64, Balance of Power was done so much better. Yeah, that game's like over like 28 years, well, maybe like 28 years old now. But that game still did it better than this one. So if you're looking for a political sim, don't even bother. Don't bother with this one. There's bound to be a better one at some point. Or I can just like figure out how to like program and make my own and make it better. I don't even care if it's all just text, dude. I just want something fun. Like, I understand what they were trying to go for, but they just didn't do a good job. I didn't play enough to, like, really... I didn't play enough to give a good... I don't feel like I've played enough to give a good review on this game. Maybe I'll actually sit down and play it for a long period of time and go through all the scenarios that I can think of and everything. And maybe actually do a review of it on the channel. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. But as of now, there's not that much to talk about. I love the music. The music was good. But it's, you know, just free music from the internet, from the Soviet era. So, you know, why wouldn't it be good music? Russian music is always good. Right now, the game is teetering on a C-, because it's failing to do what I expected it to for the type of game that it is compared to other simulation games I've played. It's just, it's really sad. I was quite disappointed with this one. Kind of fun, though, in a weird way. In a weird masochistic way, it was fun. Alright, so we're here at this point in the podcast where I'm going to be talking about where the video game book club's going to go in the future. So it's been about like a month and a half now, and I've kind of like set myself to the schedule of being like, okay, well, I'll do it every 2 weeks. And I've already had, this is episode number 4, and I think I have a good idea of how it would all work out if I did it every 2 weeks. I need the free time. That's what I need. So what I'm thinking about doing, also, there just isn't, in terms of like other videos on my channel and like the download rates for this podcast, even the first one and all sorts of different kind of stuff, it was just like, maybe there's just not that much interest. Maybe I should go back to talking about video game news. Which brings me to something interesting. So, from here on out, I think the Video Game Book Club will be a monthly thing. At the end of the month, expect a podcast around like the 28th to the 31st of every month. Somewhere in there. Somewhere around the end of the month. Probably on a Friday or Saturday. Now, with that, what are the games next for August? Well, I'm glad you asked. So I'm going to change the format of the book club to having 4 games. I can't think. Interactive fiction, visual novel, and text adventure month is still a go. And I'm going to do like one big giant episode and like string together a whole bunch of stuff. Maybe like split it into 2 episodes with like a bunch of different games and stuff just to like celebrate that. But for next month, there's only going to be 1 book club, and I'm still deciding on, really depends on the games, I suppose. Hold up. All right, here you go. All right, I figured it out. So next month's games are Dream Quest on PC Steam, Metroid 2 Samus Returns on the Game Boy and Virtual Console, Fallout, the original Fallout, aka Classic, on PC Steam, and Duke Nukem Forever as maybe the extra credit. We'll see if I actually get to that. It's a game I've been wanting to play for a long time. It's just, I've had it for a while. I just never actually played it. I was like, well,
You know, I don't know. We'll see how this goes. You know. So what is? I'll explain these games in a second. If you don't know Fallout, and you're a gamer, you failed your gamership here. But never actually. I myself have never played the entirety of the original Fallout. I've played a little bit, but I want to actually sit down and play it all the way through. I don't know the Fallout series very well, so it's all going to be pretty much new stuff to me. So that's cool. It's going to be fun. Let's play that. Fallout's a good game. Metroid 2 Samus Returns on the Game Boy is the game I'm choosing because they're coming out with a remake soon. That should be good. It's fun. I like me some Metroidvanias. And I don't feel like it's going to be too difficult. So let's pick that up, yo. Now, Duke Nukem Forever, obviously, is the famous failed Duke Nukem game. And I'm going to play it all the way through and tell you if I think the general public was wrong or not. Because some people enjoyed it. Most people hated it. The critics hated it. Maybe it's actually fun. We'll see. This is going to be coming from an old-school shooter fan junkie like me. So I think that should be interesting to see if I actually enjoyed Duke Nukem Forever. Because I like the original Duke Nukem. I love Serious Sam. I like Doom. I like Wolfenstein. Let's see if Duke Nukem Forever holds up and is as bad as we thought it was. Now, the one that's going to look interesting is Dream Quest. Now, bear with me. If you're looking this up right now and look up Dream Quest, you're going to be like, what is this garbage? This all looks like it's made with MS Paint. Now, I've held off on playing this game because I wanted to do it for the book club or make a review of it or maybe do a let's play of it, like a blind let's play of it. But I was listening to a co-optional podcast. This is how I discovered the game. And their special guest was Ashens, who's another YouTuber. Not so much a gaming YouTuber, but a YouTuber that mostly does box openings and stuff. And you know, I've heard him on the podcast before, and I can trust his opinion mostly. And he likes roguelikes. And he said Dream Quest, despite its look, is actually a really good and deep roguelike. So I was like, okay, I think this might actually be worth my time to play. So hopefully the aesthetic doesn't turn you off automatically. Maybe we can actually sit down and play Dream Quest together, and this should be pretty fun. I'm really hopeful for that. He said it's good. Let's hold him to that. If it's not good, we can all just tweet bomb Ashens and be like, yo, Dream Quest was garbage. But I looked into the developer of Dream Quest, and apparently he's a developer for Hearthstone. So he knows what he's doing. Apparently he's not one of their artists, though. But anyways, I thought that was interesting. Let's play that. So again, that's Dream Quest. No, whatever. I'm not going to repeat myself. It's all going to be in the description below. So what's going to happen to this podcast? Once a month, there's going to be a video game book club at the end of the month. And I'm going to cover 3 to 4 games, depending on the size and whatever they are, you know. Maybe just 3 games and maybe 1 extra credit. And then that's going to be every episode, you know. Once a month. Now, what's going to be there? What else is going to be there? I'm going to actually structure a newscast sort of thing. Kind of like what I did at the beginning of this, the very first episode of this podcast, where I talked about the Nintendo Switch presentation. I think I'm going to stick with that format because I like that format. It also allows me to talk about other things that are going on. That's what I forgot to talk about, the Atari box. Ah, screw it. I'm not up for it right now. Put that aside. And I was actually thinking to myself, I've been wanting to record, but I haven't been able to. But I want to record another Mobile Mondays. Maybe make that a monthly thing. We'll see. I don't know. Mobile Mondays is going to be, you know, your mini pod of about 30 minutes. Expect book clubs to maybe be an hour, hour and a half. And then maybe expect the newscast to be about an hour. It all really depends. Of course, there's going to be some news covered in the book club. You know, that's a given. I think the book club is going to be more a personal, hey, let's just hear me ramble, talk into the void. Man, my stomach is grumbly. What else? Let's see. Oh, yeah, that's right. I had an interesting idea. My games for October was kind of funny. Because I'm looking at my list, my preparation list here. I had this idea of doing Stardew Valley versus Harvest Moon versus Wild Season.
I think I'm going to stick with that. That should be cool.
Yeah, I'm going to be coming out with TCG tangents every once in a while. Talking about the TCG news, I think. I think this is all planning. I'm not exactly sure how strongly I'm going to adhere to this, because all these mini pods will be coming out randomly. So I think the thing that's going to happen is every 2 weeks there's going to be a podcast. One podcast is going to be a news one, where I just talk about stuff that's happening on a monthly basis. And the second one's going to be the Video Game Book Club, where I talk about the games we chose to play for the book club with a little bit of news in the beginning. So I think that's what's going to happen. Yeah, yeah. Now, if you're still listening to this podcast, God bless you. Thank you. And you have a very thick skin, or you're either very bored, or you have absolutely nothing better to listen to. I apologize that I'm so out of it right now. My head is about to explode. I want to go lay down before I have to go to work. So I'm going to go. Where can you find my stuff? You can find me at www.youtube.com/MrSenseiPong. Oh, that was the big news! That's what I forgot to mention! I'm going to get to that. On Twitter, @Sensei_Pong. On Facebook, /MrSenseiPong. At Facebook/SenseiPong. And you can also, there's also the Reddit now for the Pongcast, where it's just Reddit/ThePongcast. So check that out. No one's checking it out, so I'm just, there's only two posts of me talking to the void. So if you want to talk about these games, that's where you can talk about them. I will respond. I will respond if we start a discussion. So go on Reddit, look up the Pongcast. You'll find me there too. I think that's going to be a better place to discuss stuff than the comment section of YouTube. So that's good stuff. Good stuff. Very good stuff. Thank you for listening. Until next time, Sensei Pong signing out.